And now, live from the Eagle Newsroom in Bryan, it's Aggie Nation, covering Aggie football since the first game in 1894 and every game since. Talking all things A&M and all the pro and high school sports you want to hear. Aggie Nation on Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
And a pleasant good afternoon, and welcome to Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. It's brought to you by MSC Opus. You want to find out what they've got coming up, another great season at MSC Opus, that you can go to mscopus.org, and they'll tell you all about it. You want to join us today on Aggie Nation, call us at 693-1150, or you can send us a text at 229-1939. I'm David Campbell, along with Richard Krim. And Richard, a couple of years of doing this show, I don't think you and I get on here together very often. It's kind of a rarity. Maybe we've done it once or twice over the couple of years we've done this,
right? Do you think
right?
there's a reason for that? Do you think there's a conspiracy against us as a duo?
I think perhaps what it is you don't want the kind of rabble rousers that would get together and cause problems. Yeah. And I think that's probably what it is.
I think part of it is my last name doesn't rhyme with your last name,
so we can't do Bloom and Krim, yeah. that kind of stuff. So Campbell and Krim.
You know, it's always little small things like that that keep things from happening.
Yeah, I don't know, but Campbell and Krim, we could do something with the double C's, maybe
C squared.
Yeah, C squared. I like that. So that's not a bad thought. All right, we got a lot of stuff coming up today, and we'll tell you all about it. Big basketball game tonight. I understand ESPN's going to be in town as LSU and Texas A&M are playing for what's the lead in the SEC, right?
Yeah, well, for sure. I mean, yeah, you have five and 0 and 4-1.
Yep.
And so whoever wins is going to be in first. Well, actually, that's not true either, because if A&M lost. They'd both be in first.
Well,
right?
That's right. They'd share first. So it's sort of for first place.
Yeah.
I mean, no matter what, right?
LSU would have the obvious edge if they did win, because they had one here and they get one back at LSU later. And those are always tiebreakers.
Good.
Head to heads, but that's still so early. I don't think that really even matters.
You know, I mean, LSU. I think A&M has obviously got to be the favorite coming in. I mean, they're the ranked team in this game, but clearly we know LSU can pull an upset. We've seen them come through with. But what's an upset in the SEC anymore? It's kind of hard to. Right now, it looks like A&M and everybody else. I mean,
that's true. I mean, yeah.
Is that a bad perspective to look at it right now, or do you just kind of enjoy the fact that you are the nationally ranked team?
Well, I think if you're the A&M fan, you know, because you've got the resume right now to be where you want to be, and you don't have to. I mean, I guess the fact that SEC is, I want to say mediocre, as far as, you know, almost every team is. Like I told Cease last week or a couple weeks ago, it seems like the SEC will have maybe three teams in the NCAA the way things are going. But the whole NIT might be the tournament again, you know, because they're going to have all these pretty good teams that are going to finish with like 17 to 19 wins or something.
Yeah, some of these teams are going to get into the NCAA. It's not going to be, I mean, they're not going to just completely drop everybody out. I mean,
no, but there was, you know, a couple years ago, there was only three, so. And right now, you got to go. Well, right now, I go. I guess. See, LSU right now. This could be a big. This is obviously a big game for them, because they're still, you know, because of their non-conference season, they're still considered a bubble. If you were in that mode right now, if it was a little later in the year.
Oh, and a lot of people are getting in that mode already.
Yeah. So you'd go right now, you'd go A&M, Kentucky, South Carolina, and then it'd be a, you know, who knows?
Yeah, you might be right. And the thing is, how cool is it, though, for A&M, which is something we really haven't talked about. I'm not sure I can recall us ever talking about. That's the team you need to beat to make your schedule look better, you know, because they're the team you're shooting for now. And nice job by the Aggies and Coach Kennedy right now.
The way you put it right there, that was exactly the thing last Saturday for Georgia against A&M.
Right.
And A&M just said, poo-poo on that. We don't care whether you need this. We're just going to roll right over you.
Yeah, I had just seen Georgia on TV playing against Tennessee. I thought, that's a pretty good basketball team.
Yeah. Well,
they might be a good basketball team, and A&M killed them.
Yeah, they've got two or three guys that have been on the Georgia teams that have beaten A&M every other year. But this is a better A&M team.
That is, it's significantly better A&M team. We're going to talk a lot more about that game coming up, but we got tennis in mind. So let's get into a quick break, and we'll return and try to catch Coach Steve Denton for the Aggie men's tennis team when we return on Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle.
If you're in the home construction or remodeling business, you'll want your ad in Bryan Broadcasting's At Home magazine. At Home magazine is 64 pages of local articles reaching local homeowners. At Home includes everything a homeowner needs to know to spruce up his home inside and out. And At Home magazine is featured at the 2016 Home and Garden Expo. For early bird special advertising pricing, contact Sam Jones with Bryan Broadcasting or email sam@bryanbroadcasting.com.
New quarterback? New offensive coordinator? You need Billy and Bryce of the Bellucci Hour to guide you through the new changes in Aggie football. So be at the tap with the Bellucci Hour returns Monday, January 25th from noon to 1. It's spring football time, and who better to deliver the news to you than Billy Lucci and Bryce Jones of Tex Ags Radio. Plus, enjoy the tap's daily lunch specials for only $7.99. Get to the Bellucci Hour for the ultimate A&M recruiting updates every Monday and Thursday starting January 25th from noon till 1 at the tap.
Give your truck authority. Texas Truck Riggins will help you hook up your rig the way you want it with a wide variety of truck accessories, spray-in bed liners, grill guards, toolboxes, goosenecks, and more. The best products well within your budget. We can also powder coat patio furniture, old iron beds, and wheels, just to name a few. All with quick turnaround and straightforward answers to your questions. Visit Texas Truck Riggins on South College Street across from the Lake of the Bryan Municipal Golf Course. Find us on Facebook or visit us at txtruckriggins.com.
The hometown advantage. It's up and down Main Street. It's also in the office downtown, the factory by the river, and the farm down the road. That's because most folks who work here love living here. They care about this community. They work hard to succeed, and that makes a difference. At AggieLandHelpWanted.com, we're proud to work our hometown advantage around the clock, connecting local employers to local job seekers. Post your job today on AggieLandHelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
The BVSO's very own concertmaster, Javier Chaparro, and his band, Salud, take to the stage with the symphony for this very special concert. Join us for an exciting evening of romance, jazz, and fun, beginning with Bowling Suite for Violin and Jazz Piano Trio. The symphony will also premiere new works composed by Javier himself, featuring the romantic sounds of South American music and irresistible Latin jazz, on Sunday, January 31st at 5 p.m. in Rudder Theater. Tickets are available at bvso.org or by calling 845-1234. The Brazos Valley Symphony Orchestra, making music come alive.
Looking to save money on Medicare Part D? Switch your prescriptions to Walgreens. With copays as low as $1, you could be looking at some real savings. And now you can preview the cost of your scripts before you fill with Walgreens' new Medicare prescription copay quote. And that's kind of a big deal. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Quotes subject to change and available only for select Part D plans. $1 copay applies to Tier 1 generics.
Get your show alerts, game score updates, and reminders on upcoming guests. Follow us at Zone 1150 on Twitter.
Nasty Dog.
Back to Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. David Campbell in today for you, working along with Richard Kroom. And Richard, let's go out to talk to Steve Denton, head coach of the A&M men's tennis team. And, Coach, first of all, I want to pass on congratulations. It's my understanding that tennis coaches are responsible for the weather, so you're doing a good job.
Well, I don't know about that, but we have had obviously a mild winter thus far, and we've really been able to take advantage of it on the practice. And then, of course, this weekend as well.
Yeah, I want to ask you just real quickly, because Richard's going to get into the real questions. But talking about getting on the court, you know, you have so many things that come in here now with the UIL events and things like that. How do you work around that stuff? How does that present problems for you in any way?
No, not really. I mean, we've got a big facility. We've got 12 courts here at the Mitchell Tennis Center, and then another 18 courts right down below. With health and kinesiology and the PE course. So we've got quite a few courts here in our area, and we're able to kind of schedule everything, getting all the moving parts. And obviously we have priority on our courts, you know, during the season.
You're like Big Brother, just push him off when it's – and no, it's our turn.
the guy that's the biggest gets the court, so we usually do okay on that part.
Yeah. Coach, before we get into your team, I know you got to be proud because kind of like a proud father with the fact that Austin Krychek won his first match at the Australian Open at a major there. You're probably bubbling a little bit over that, weren't you not?
Well, I mean, he's just doing it the right way, Rich. You know, he hasn't gotten the accolades with some other guys. He's kind of been a plugger. He's plugged along, and he's just gotten better and better every year, and he's gaining confidence. And you know, he won around the U.S. Open this last year. This is the next major, and he's able to win around there and played a young player who's very talented and really kind of wiped him off the court. So really yeah. good for him to go out and get his first win at the Australian Open. And then now he's got a big test here tonight. I think he plays at 6 o'clock against Kei Nishikori, obviously number 7 in the world. They're really familiar with each other. They grew up together at IMG. He won't be afraid of him. But 3 out of 5 sets is a big ask against that kid. He's obviously one of the better players and very talented, really physical, got a lot of experience. They did play each other in the quarterfinals of Memphis Indoor this last year in the big pro tournament. Austin had just beaten Ivo Karlovic, the 6'10 Croat, and he ended up being up in the third set against Kay. So, you know, we'll see. It'll be a tough match, but I know Austin will be looking forward to it.
If nothing else, just because he's playing number 7 in the world, he'll get a little TV time, right?
Well, he should. I'm going to try to go slip in and see our Aggies play basketball tonight. So if you guys want to talk about that, I'm happy to give you my advice on that.
Coach Denton always wants to talk all sports.
But I want to see this kid from LSU play. Obviously excited about him. I heard one of the guys on TNT talk about maybe he's the maybe best college player, maybe since Magic Johnson, and I think that's a pretty tall order, but obviously very talented, and we're excited about having him here in Aggieland.
Yeah, that's going to be fun tonight. Let's talk a little bit about yourself. Quarterfinals in the NCAAs last year. Just give me a reason why you can take another step this year with this team, because everyone but one player from that team is back.
Well, the reason that we wouldn't be able to take that step would be we lost a great leader in Jeremy Efferty. You know, he brought it every day in practice, and he raised the level of the guys on our teams in the matches. And, you know, it's hard to replace a guy like that. But at the same time, I feel like that everybody else in our lineup is better than they were last year, all the other 5 guys, plus we've added a couple parts. And I think, you know, the keys of the team this year, a couple things. One, you know, which Harrison Adams shows up this year. You know, if he plays like he played 2 years ago, you know, that's really going to help us, obviously. He's one of the best doubles players in the country already. And then obviously getting Jackson Withrow back. You know, I've told him every day is Christmas. You know, he got a Christmas present. We did. And the NCAA giving him another year. And for him to take advantage of that and play well here after being out for 3 semesters, but with the experience he has, he was the number 1 doubles player in the country 2 years ago with Junior Ore. And obviously it solidifies our doubles, but also I think an experienced player in our lineup. One of the things that he does really well, Rich, is he's an all-court player, and he matches up well. He can do a lot of different things. He can come in, he serves good, he volleys well. He can transition, and then he can also stay back and grind like an athlete. So, you know, he presents matchup problems for a lot of players. He will help us when we need to put him in there at different spots.
And I'll tell you what, the one thing I noted with him in this weekend when I was watching you guys was that guy looks serious this year. He looks a whole lot more serious than he has in the past.
He looks a little angry out there.
Yeah, right?
Mad at the world a little bit. Kind of how he plays a little you know, he's got another opportunity, and he wants to take full advantage of it. I told him, I said, you know, if you don't get this year, I want to make sure that you get a chance to go out and try to go play pro tennis. Not too many people remember, but he was Jack Stock's doubles partner in the juniors. They won Kalamazoo, got to play at the U.S. Open. And so he's a heck of a tennis player and a great athlete. You saw he's got a great serve. And he's really going to help us this year. We've kind of got to slow him down because he hadn't played in a long time, and you know, guys want to go out there and go full bore, and you know, sometimes you got to work your way back into it when you've had a long layoff like he has. But we'll be smart with that, I hope, and he will too. And, you know, he'll benefit from this year and then hopefully get to go and play after he's done this semester.
Can tell our audience that Jack Sock is, speaking of the Australian Open, he's playing. I don't know who he's playing with, but I know his team is seeded in the doubles at the Australian Open. So that's the kind of partner that Jackson had.
Yeah, he has been playing with Vasek Pospisil, a Czech Canadian that has done really well, and I believe they won Wimbledon, if it wasn't last year, year before. So he's had some success on the doubles court. Obviously, Jack has. So if nothing else, Jackson knows how to pick a good partner. you know, we feel like that he's really come on, and we're excited about him. And of course, we've got a lot of other guys to be excited about as well.
This weekend, you got the ITA coming in. Hopefully, you can get some people out there to watch you. But the thing I noted about it, if I'm correct, with the teams coming in, they could almost have all flown in on the same plane, could they not? They're all from up there in the Northwest a little bit. Fresno, Boise State, and San Francisco. Is that correct?
That's right. Northern Cal and Idaho.
It kind of reminded me of when A&M baseball went up to Corvallis for their regional. They flew up there with Rice and UTSA. Because they're all in the same regional. So anyway, that's what it reminded me of. But yeah, can you just talk a little bit, maybe a little bit about those teams and what you're looking for this weekend, and hopefully for the people that don't know, this is one of those tournaments where if you win it, or a weekends like thing where you win both matches, you advance to something much bigger.
Well, a few years back, Fresno State came in and beat us first round of this kickoff weekend, the very first one, and we didn't get to go to the National Indoor that year. And obviously getting another crack at them here. They're a good team. They've got a couple of new guys that we really don't know too much about. But they've got a good coach, and Luke Shields, he played for Greg Patton at Boise State, so they have a connection, the two schools, with a player and coach. And they'll be ready to come in. They'll be fired up and, you know, playing with nothing to lose. And they're a good, solid team, have had success in their conference. Obviously, Boise State has been a powerhouse since Greg's been there for quite a long time. He's a really good coach, has good players, gets a lot of California players, and, you know, they'll be tough. So San Francisco, I don't know as much about. They'll play Boise on Saturday. Hopefully, we'll get a chance to kind of familiarize ourselves with them as well. But, you know, early in the year, Rich, I'm really focusing on our guys, trying to get our guys ready to play. We've, you know, had a good kickoff weekend this past weekend where we got to play 12 guys in singles, and everybody got their, most everybody got their feet wet. And so excited about that opportunity for our guys. And, you know, we just got to take that next step here. Long season, got to get a lot of guys match. That's really our biggest challenge, is we've got a lot of good players. And to get them all match play time is a challenge, since we can only play six guys, and we've got quite a few more players that are capable of being out there and playing and want to play. It's not like basketball or baseball where I can put them in for 10 minutes or a couple innings and then pull them out. They got to stay the whole time. So there's going to be some good guys sitting on the sideline, you know, this weekend for us, at least in some of the matches. And so we've got to be smart about getting them all prepared and keeping them fresh and keeping them involved and interested.
Yeah, as I say, if people can't make it this weekend, you've got a lot of good teams coming in, but you've also got doubleheaders where, and I'm bringing this up because, like you just talked about, you have a big roster, and if people want to see some of these other guys play, those weekends where you have the, or those Sundays like where you have the doubleheaders, that's a good time to come and watch everybody play.
It is. I mean, and it gives our guys a chance to play. These guys practice so hard, they work hard and prepare our lineup players every week, and to give them an opportunity to get to compete in live, meaningful matches is important, and it's good for our team chemistry. Obviously, we need depth as we go through this schedule that we've got. I think we've got five teams in the top 10, plus the indoor tournament where we'll play more than that, and then our SEC schedule, you know, that'll always be tough. So you need some depth and you need some players because you know, obviously you're going to have some tough matches, and it's the physicality, both mentally and physically, is pretty tough for these guys to go through the season. So our depth is going to be key for our success this year.
You guys have been preseason number five, number, I believe, three when in the SEC coaches poll or whoever picks those. And where do you think, I mean, do you think those are legit and those are things that you can live up to and or excel past?
Well, I mean, obviously, if we were finished five in the country last year, I think we're certainly capable of that. We'll see. You know, time will tell. You know, the two teams that were picked ahead of us in the conference, they're both very good teams. We split with Georgia last year. You know, we beat them in the conference tournament. We lost to them there in a pretty tough match. In the dual season, we ended up, you know, tying them in the conference regular season and then winning the tournament against them in the finals here. And then, you know, Florida, we beat there last year, but we played a lot of close matches. We had a lot of free setters that we won that day. We were kind of a bit on a bit of a roll, and so we were able to get out of there with a pretty convincing win, even though the matches were close. You know, they've added a couple of pieces to their team. I think they're going to be significant. Alfredo Perez, who we recruited as well, came down to us in Florida, and he decided to stay home and go to Florida, and he's had some success already, and he'll be kind of in the middle of their lineup. That's going to solidify their line, so they're better. But I also think, guys, I think we're better too, mm-hmm. and you know, maybe the coaches didn't look at it quite as closely, but in the last 3 years, we've been pretty tough on our home court, and we play both Georgia and Florida here during the regular season, so... you know, I like our chances. I mean, we've got a battle on our hands, and there's a lot of depth in this SEC, and there's, you know, we got to be ready to play every time. But I certainly like our potential of this team. We'll just see, you know, how it plays out.
I was going to bring that up. You mentioned it, though, but those two teams ahead of you, you get them both at home, which is a big advantage. And it's another thing for fans to come out and watch some really, really good tennis, top-notch NCAA tennis.
Well, it is, and you know, we're starting to get some rivalries with these SEC schools, specifically those two. You know, I anticipate Tennessee being back up there. Ole Miss, Mississippi State, you know, obviously have had some really good teams as well, and there's some others that I'm not mentioning that are very good teams. And if you don't bring your A game in the SEC, you can be beaten by any of the teams in the conference. And so you just got to be ready to play. I think everybody has made themselves better than they were last year, so that makes it tough. But it also is great preparation for the NCAA tournament as well.
Coach, got one final question. I heard you on Studio 12 the other day, and you were recounting a story about serving to Kenneth Sims when you're in in college, and I almost ran off the road laughing about that because the picture I think came through my mind for people who don't remember Kenneth Sims, who was an All-American in Texas and was the number one overall draft pick in the NFL. Recount that story again if you don't mind, because it entertained me tremendously.
Well, you know, the visual on that probably way better. Too bad we don't have we didn't have YouTube or any of that going on. But basically, because I was kind of known for having a big serve, numerous occasions, you know, kind of our marketing was, you know, come out and try to return Steve's serve. And so one day he showed up at the court, you know, and his grandeur of about, you know, 6'4", 285, but, you know, could run like the wind. For his size, and you know, that tennis racket kind of looked like a toothpick in his hand, and so I gently hit one to him, you know, and he kind of baited me a little bit, so then the next one I tried to hit it a little bit harder, and I body surfed him, and it whistled by his ear, and I think it kind of scared him a little bit, because it went by pretty fast, and then he proceeded to jump the net and chase me around the facility for a while. Thankfully, he didn't catch me, because that would have been the history of my tennis career. But anyway, I'm sure that was a funny fight for everyone. And the part about it that was even funnier is I think we suspended that marketing.
That was the end of it?
We decided not even more of that, just because, you know, I think Coach wanted me to be able to play in the matches and not be killed by one of our football players.
Well, he didn't want Sims waiting around the corner for you somewhere.
I'm sure I, you know, was looking around the corner a little bit, or watching in the the chow line just to make sure that he wasn't coming. But, you know, a guy that big, you know, he makes a little bit of noise. You can hear him coming and so you can kind of get out of the way.
I just want one real quick question. You can answer this yes or no. Is that the fastest you've ever run?
Well, it was certainly, I mean, you know, if a strike that you're looking for, I'm sure that it was been fun, and we had a good time, and I'm sure the people that were there got a few laughs out of it. It was just kind of one of those spontaneous things that happens, and you have a little bit of fun with it.
Steve, we're glad you survived it. We're glad you have this opportunity. Great playing career, great coaching career to this point, and now we know all about your bravery as well. So I think that should say a lot.
Not Coach very smart, actually. Really, not very smart. You know, trying to whistle one by somebody that big—that was probably not the brightest thing on my part.
Maybe we confused it with bravery, but we appreciate
the
time.
When you're 21 or 22 years old, testosterone takes over sometimes, and that's probably shouldn't be the case, but it did on that day.
Coach, thanks for the time. Good luck this weekend.
Well, thanks, and I appreciate you guys, and hopefully we'll have a good weather. I see where we're in the 70s maybe by Sunday, which is unbelievable this time of year. So hopefully we'll get the 12th men out both to support our men and our women's programs as we try to advance to the National Indoor Tournament, which is key for both of us if we get all these really good matches against some of the top teams in the country.
All right. Thanks, Coach. We appreciate it, and good luck.
All right. Take care, guys.
Steve Denton, and that's going to bring us to the bottom of the hour. You're listening to Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. We're going to take another break and be back in just a moment.
From News Talk 1620 WTAW, I'm Chelsea Reber with a news update on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM. There's an update on the status of a 2-year-old Brian boy who was struck while playing in a neighbor's driveway Friday night. Brian police report the youngster was released from a Houston hospital yesterday. A suspicious device was found and detonated on the campus of a Bryan Senior Living Center late yesterday afternoon. That resulted in the evacuation of residents living in 3 apartments at Walden Brook Estates for about 3 hours. Bryan police called in the College Station bomb squad to neutralize what turned out to be something that was not an explosive. The community of Traditions Club is growing with the addition of 156 units at the Hawthorne at Traditions Development. Representative Doak Brown says popularity of Phase 1 and location factored into the expansion.
You've got everything associated with the bio corridor. You've got all those facilities which are, you know, finishing up. You've got all the job growth associated with the bio corridor. And on top of that, you have the Health Science Center over on that side of town.
Brown says the second phase, which consists of 1, 2, and 3-bedroom units, will also include a resort-style pool, dog park, and a clubhouse with a workout facility. Construction is set for completion in March of 2017. May of 2014 was the first time we heard about a new owner of Bryan-based St. Joseph Health System. Catholic Health Initiatives has announced completing the name change, reflecting the Denver-based corporation. Signage is being replaced to reflect the new name CHI St. Joseph Health at all its healthcare organizations. That includes the health system and its 5 hospitals. You can see the new corporate logo online at WTAW.com. For more, go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber on Sports Radio 1150 in The Zone 102.7 FM.
Only in the forest can you see this. And this. And this. But nothing beats the moment you see that.
Cool!
That's your child's eyes opening up to a world of possibilities.
I didn't know it could do that!
Because one trip to the forest can spark a world of difference.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go, like hiking, canoeing, fishing, or camping. Or create your own adventure with family and friends, and you might just see this. Your moment's out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org. That's discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Howdy, this is Royce Hickman, President and CEO of the Bryan-College Station Chamber of Commerce. On Wednesday, January 27th from 7:30 a.m. to 2 p.m., the Chamber will hold its annual Economic Outlook Conference featuring keynote speaker Tracy McDaniel, President of the Texas Economic Development Corporation. The event will focus on changing landscapes, where we've been, where we are going. Topics include our current and projected economy, plus growth in all parts of our community. Wednesday, January 27th at the Hilton, a look into the future from the people making it happen. Call 260-5200 for tickets or visit bcschamber.org. See you there.
When you think of Texas A&M Athletics on the Zone, think of the businesses sponsoring the games of your favorite team.
Businesses like Pioneer Steel, Coldwell Banker, Agtown Realtors, and Rudy's Barbecue.
Here's a big gig'em to these sponsors of Texas A&M Athletics. You're listening to the flagship station for Texas A&M Athletics, Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Listen to Aggie football, basketball, baseball, softball, and soccer on your home for Aggie athletics. The Zone FM, 102.7 and Sports Radio 1150.
Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, brought to you by MSC Opus, mscopus.org. That's the place to go. You want to get in on this, 693-1150. If you want to call, or you can give us a text at 229-1939. Got a nice comment from Brian in Bossier City saying, why is Aggie Nation going away? You're second only to TexAgs. It's my favorite program. That's probably it. We were shooting for number one.
Well, yeah, we wanted to be number one. We just couldn't quite get over the hump.
You got some Steve Denton stuff to kind of follow up.
Yeah, we knew
a heck of a player.
Yeah, we knew what we were kind of like talking with him about there with the serve and all that stuff. And some people might not know that with Steve Denton at one point had recorded the fastest serve ever in the world. You know,
right.
He's Guinness World Record breaker. I do not think he holds that anymore, but
I wouldn't want to test it.
No, I wouldn't either.
Yeah.
But that was part of the deal, and the funny thing about that, because I'm sure Sims had never seen a ball come at him quite that hard.
And probably had a good kick if he went by his ear with it too, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we were also talking about the Australian Open, a tournament that he played in and did very well in, too. So, you know, that's the guy was a heck of a player.
He did pretty well in a few tournaments.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
yes, he did, and including major tournaments, did extremely well. So, all right, let's talk about some – I actually want to talk about the NBA. I found it fascinating that the two Texas teams that played last night, I think the Spurs are playing great right now, but the two Texas teams last night went overtime. I watched the end of the Mavericks game. I got to give the Celtics – I hated the Celtics when I was a kid, by the way.
I did, too. I was a Lakers fan. And
me, too.
I was a Magic Johnson fan, not a Larry Bird fan. And as time rolled on, I kind of – you know, you don't get – you're not so much like I either hate that or I love it.
Yeah, me, too.
Everything became a little more middle ground, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
But I will give I'll give Boston credit. They extended the game. I didn't think I was going to get to bed last night because that overtime lasted forever. But Dirk Nowitzki on playing the second consecutive night after he went 4 points in San Antonio and the Spurs just blew out the Mavericks down in San Antonio. Back-to-back nights. Boston watched that from their hotel room in Dallas. And they go overtime last night, and Dirk goes for his best game of the year. That guy's that's why I like watching the Mavericks, because Dirk Nowitzki plays for him, and for a team that they thought was going to be pretty bad, that's not a bad basketball team this year. They're up and down.
Yeah, they have,
but they're not bad.
And Darren Williams has come back a little bit from last year with, you know, he didn't have the last couple of years he hasn't really played well with.
Had a great overtime last night,
but yeah, he's played well for them.
I think Zaza Pachulia has been a guy that surprised me. I mean,
it surprises me. You could say that name.
Yeah, Rockets played back to back. They beat the Lakers and then they lose to the Clippers in overtime last night. But they put up.
I'm surprised they got to overtime though, because when I was watching, they looked totally out of it, and I just kind of wrote them off and left the building, so to speak.
This is kind of the setup, though. If we're going to talk about the NBA, the game I think everybody was looking forward to was Cleveland Golden State last night, and that was a rout. And it was in Golden State just absolutely blew away Cleveland in that game last night. And you know,
they had over 100 by the end before the third quarter was over.
That's insane. Of course, I mean they're putting up impossible numbers anyway. It begs the question: who are the top two teams? God, we think Golden State's one of them. I think the Spurs are the other.
I was gonna say we were talking about that last night when we looked at when I turned that game on and saw the score. I went, oh, well, I'm not going to be watching this. I'll go straight and watch Oklahoma-Iowa State.
Which was a heck of a game.
But, because this game was a nothing game by the time I saw the score. But there's a – Jeff was –
132-98, by the way, was the final.
Yeah,
I was trying to pull
Jeff
it
was,
up.
Jeff was standing next to me, and we looked at each other. There's two teams in the league right now. It's Golden State and San Antonio. I said, Oklahoma City, if they're on, might scare you because they've got the big two and a few other competent players. So, but, yeah, right now I have to say there's two teams.
I watched part of this.
And it's almost like the East has gotten better. You know, the East was terrible for so many years. But the East is good now, but the two best teams are in the West, The West Finals is going to be almost like the NBA Finals to me.
I watched part of the Spurs and the Mavericks, which was very one-sided the other night. But the thing that always gets me about the Spurs is you're just never quite sure who's going to be their star. And different guys give mm-hmm. them a boost. The night that I saw them, I thought Boris Diaw played extremely well at the end of the first half. If I turn on the Spurs, I'm not looking for Boris Diaw. Now, Boris Diaw sometimes comes through for him, but he's making plays left and right.
I watched him, and I know he's done a lot, but the night I watched him, they played the Cavs, and Parker had a really good scoring night. They don't really count on him for scoring anymore, but he can do it. He pretty much held him in the game in the second quarter.
You know, I can remember early on in Tony Parker's career, I thought the Spurs, the best thing they could have done was trade the guy. I thought he made as many mistakes as he did things right. Mm-hmm. He was always throwing balls away. But Popovich, I guess, saw something maybe that I didn't see. And
Popovich knows a little bit more about basketball than you. I hate to tell you that.
There's a slim chance that that's the case. Mm-hmm. But I'm also seeing in the NBA, this is a trend I really like, is that the passing, the cooperative play, the get the ball to the other guys for a better shot mm-hmm. that you see from the Spurs, that you see from Golden State.
Everybody's
beginning to pick that up. And again, watching the Mavericks last night, there's that one extra pass that set up Dirk in the corner in a very competitive game. Anytime you get the ball into Dirk Nowitzki's hands for a three-point shot, you're probably not doing badly. If he's alone with an opportunity to hit that shot, that's a good shot. That's a good chance for you to hit something, but Dirk's 37 now, and he's playing in overtime in back-to-back games. That was pretty impressive, but it was that extra pass that people are making now that makes, to me, that's good basketball. That's what I enjoy watching.
That's funner to watch. It's kind of funny because it does NBA kind of is trendy in that, like, back when I used to really, really follow the NBA, what we're talking about now with the passing and the opening, the open game and the movement and all that stuff, we talked about just good, hard, tough defense. And every team tried to mimic the Pistons or and the Bulls tried to mimic the Pistons,
Yeah, I can't imagine why anybody wanted to mimic the Pistons.
Yeah, no, but that's what it was. And now, that's what reminded me of that was because you just said that now teams are looking to try and do what the Warriors and the Spurs do because they think that's the way you win NBA titles.
Yeah, somebody asked where I was watching the Spurs because they could never find them on TV, and they aren't on around here much. They were on.
It was a TNT game.
The Mavericks were on, actually. I think it was Fox Sports Southwest.
Fox Sports with the Mavericks, yeah.
So that's why. But
been on TNT.
But the Spurs, when you see them, you're probably going to catch them on TNT. That's generally where they're going to be.
Or the ESPN night.
And to be if they're the second best, maybe the best team in the league, I don't think they get as much TV coverage as some of the other people nationally. Golden State's going to always get a bunch. And I have no problem with that. They're an entertaining team to watch. But they're also winning their games and routes. Well, I'll say that. So are the Spurs right now, aren't they? I mean, they're putting games away, and And everybody talks about defending the home court. Man alive, they're living it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're awfully good.
Yeah. Well, what's their streak now? I wouldn't even. I mean,
24, I think.
24. Yeah.
This year at home, and it's over 30 for the
back to last year. Yeah.
I'm just absolutely. I just like watching that team play. And talking about old guys, they got a few old guys on that team, and yeah. And Duncan but and
what's
Parker
funny,
and
what's funny though
Ginobili.
Let's admit it. The funny thing about that was. If we were having this conversation 3 or 4 years ago, we would have said, they got a bunch of old guys on the team. And we would have named those same guys.
That's
right. Stayed around. They've just gotten older, and they're just, you know, they may not be, they may be one step slower or 1 or 2 points less every game, but they're hanging in there.
You know, Ginobili is still one of those guys that I've never seen a guy that.
Flops? Oh, no, I'm sorry. I didn't hear that.
That fouls more and gets the call go his way more than Manu Ginobili, but he's a heck of a player. And
well, I argued with a Spurs fan the other day about how Duncan, you know, is the guy that's never fouled anybody and gives – he never goes at the official, but he's always got that look, you know, like what?
I also think that Tim Duncan has maybe one of the greatest bank shots in the history of the NBA.
No doubt.
And
no doubt
I've never understood.
Him and Walton are the only two guys I can even think that I would put, you know, where I would say, you know, that's their shot type thing.
Right. It's just absolutely amazing. He can shoot it on the run. He can shoot it falling away. He can shoot it anywhere he wants to, it seems like. And he's done that in his entire career. I mean, and for the guy who came in, and he was going to be the addition to the Admiral when David Robinson was there.
Yeah, that worked out nicely, didn't it? That little year where they didn't do well when they already had the best center, one of the best centers in the game.
Well, I'm fans of those guys, and Tony Parker's a little beaten up right now, and you know they it's just a good team, and you know Popovich, as surly as he can be, you kind of get the feeling like he's sort of having fun with it.
I was going to say I don't think he's as surly as he is. I think it's almost now a caricature of him, you know, of himself being the surly guy.
Well, you know,
he has fun with Sager on TNT in those third, you know, when they interview him and during the game.
And Craig Sager with who's been battling cancer, you get an idea what the relationship that those two guys have with some of the things that have come up because of that. And mm-hmm. I just it makes me like Popovich that much more. Popovich is going to be a Hall of Famer. He's going to be a Texas High School Hall of Famer as well, and probably would be in there now, but I don't think he wants in right now. I think he wants, as long as he's coaching, he doesn't want to be part of that. Duncan's going to be part of that. Nowitzki's going to be part of it. He'll be the best German player in the Texas Sports Hall of Fame when he gets in there, you know. But you know, who saw these? I think a lot of us saw that a guy like Duncan was going to be, because he was player of the year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he stayed there, you know, for a while. He was one of those that actually stayed in school.
But who ever heard of Dirk Nowitzki other than Charles Barkley that was trying to get Auburn to cheat to get him to come to school there, you know? Because Barkley had played him in international play, and so Barkley said, you know, let's just empty out the bank, get the guy to go to school at Auburn. So
when I worked down in Victoria, this is how long ago, Popovich was the assistant, and he came down and did a little clinic for the Victoria High kids, brought down one of the players, the big center from Florida. He played for Florida. I can't remember his name right now. But he came down, and it was – I was just mesmerized by listening to him talking. And, you know, he was having a good time with it, but at the same time, you could see the seriousness of, you know, this is my sport, and I'm talking about it, and you better listen to me about it.
I like the direction the NBA is going right now, though. I mean, I think they're doing some positive things right now, and I think it's, you know, they're following the leaders. So that's good. You're also seeing there might have been a time when you would not have seen a complimentary thing that LeBron James sent out about Tim Duncan like he did the other day. And I think, you know, some of it's just maturity. Some of these guys that were the young studs like LeBron have an appreciation for the league because they've been playing it for so long.
Yeah. Well, and some of the stars, not only do they play against each other, they get to know each other now with these, you know, with the Olympic Games teams and things like that. So they kind of gain respect for them and those kind of things. And, get to know them more as people, and you know, and realize that, hey, this is a good buddy of mine.
And
this can be a good buddy.
And you look at Kobe Bryant's going to retire at the end of this year. You look at what LeBron is continuing to do. You look at Nowitzki climbing up the scoring list, and you think it's not a bad era to be watching NBA basketball either. Yeah. All right, let's take another quick break. We'll be back to talk more things. Big basketball game coming up at the college level. LSU is in town to take on the Aggies tonight at 8 o'clock. It's going to be on ESPN, but it's going to be a Reed Arena. So you might want to get out there for that. We will return with more of Aggie Nation after this.
Take an ordinary putty knife and scrape off the old wax ring. Place the new wax ring over the flange, then line up the bolts with the bowl and gently set in place, making sure a proper seal is created with the flange and drain. Next?
Dad?
Yeah, sweetie.
Is that an old plumbing manual?
Oh, yeah, honey.
We really need to get some new books.
Right, do you want me to stop?
Nah, I kind of want to know how it ends.
Okay, tighten the bolts, line up the flushing valve to the opening in the top of the bowl, and secure the tank with a screwdriver and crescent wrench.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
New quarterback? New offensive coordinator? You need Billy and Bryce of the Bellucci Hour to guide you through the new changes in Aggie football. So be at the tap with the Bellucci Hour returns Monday, January 25th from noon to 1. It's spring football time, and who better to deliver the news to you than Billy Lucci and Bryce Jones of Tex Ags Radio. Plus, enjoy the tap's daily lunch specials for only $7.99. Get to the Bellucci Hour for the ultimate A&M recruiting updates every Monday and Thursday starting January 25th from noon till 1 at the tap.
Enjoy an enchanted evening with your little lady, Daddy's Little Girl. The Daddy-Daughter Dance returns February 5th and 6th at the Hilton Hotel Ballroom. Friday night is recommended for ages 6 or younger, and Saturday night is recommended for ages 7 and older. Proceeds benefit the Children's Museum of the Brazos Valley. It's a night you will treasure forever, so make your reservations for the Daddy-Daughter Dance now by calling the Children's Museum at 779-5437 or visit cmbv.org.
Give your truck authority. Texas Truck Riggins will help you hook up your rig the way you want it with a wide variety of truck accessories, spray-in bed liners, grill guards, toolboxes, goosenecks, and more. The best products well within your budget. We can also powder coat patio furniture, old iron beds, and wheels, just to name a few. All with quick turnaround and straightforward answers to your questions. Visit Texas Truck Riggins on South College Street across from the Lake of the Bryan Municipal Golf Course. Find us on Facebook or visit us at txtruckriggins.com.
Did you know that you can hear every Texas A&M men's basketball game all season long right here on News Talk 1620 WTAW? You can also catch your Texas A&M women's hoops games all year long on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM. And you can listen to both anywhere, anytime online at RadioAggieland.com. Brian Broadcasting, your official flagships for Aggie Athletics.
Rich and Dave, we're back on Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. That's got a little bit of a ring to it. Rich and Dave, we need it if we're going to promote ourselves.
for
big and rich, you got big and rich. You know, I guess I can be big and rich. I am big, you know. So it's,
but I'm not rich.
Yeah, but you're rich. You know, I don't know. Yeah, we'll keep working on that. If anybody's got an idea, pass it on. So what we can do with this?
Keep it clean.
Yeah, keep it relatively clean. If you want to text us, we don't have to read them on the air though. So from that standpoint, I gotta quit picking up the paper every day. And I know I'm supposed to do it because it's our deal. But I'm tired of reading about people that I like Glenn Frey passing away. You know, that's, yeah, you know, I'm a big Eagles fan. I'll tell you,
I hate to tell you this, Dave, but you know, we're getting to that age.
You think that's it?
I think that's partially it. I mean, you know, we used to be the ones that would laugh at people that said they got the paper because
so they could read the old bits.
Yeah. And I'm not doing that now, but now I see why that was done a little bit more than I used to.
Yeah, Glenn Frey, I love the Eagles. When I was first out of college, I worked at a radio station. It was a country station that I was trying really hard to convince people that the Eagles were a country band, and so I would slip
so
a lot
you could
of
play
Eagles
their songs,
songs in
yeah.
it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so I did play a lot of their songs and a lot of other played some Willie Nelson stuff that really wasn't looked on as country music at the time. I mean, people thought that progressive country, Michael Martin Murphy wow. and people like that.
I didn't know there was that.
There was that division. Yeah, there was a division
the
there at one time.
People.
So I tried to work that in. And Glenn Frey's song "Lion Eyes" was one of the songs that I played because that was the bathroom song. It was 6 minutes and 3 seconds, and so you had time to go to the bathroom when you played a song that was 6 minutes, 3 seconds. Pretty good song, too.
Yeah, because most radio songs, especially back then, were...
About three and a half the most, yeah. So it's anything. Anyway, things have changed. NFL, did you watch any of the games this weekend?
You know what? I didn't. And I think that's kind of funny because, I saw maybe a couple of... I saw maybe 15 minutes to a half hour, not football time, but our time of the Broncos Steelers game. That was about it, and that was only because there was a TV on where I was at, type thing.
Part of that is because
our TV went down last week, and it just got fixed on Monday.
Oh,
so
okay.
If I was going to watch something, I had to be somewhere.
You had to go out and see it. I watched a good bit of the Carolina game with Seattle, and Seattle made a pretty nice comeback in that
game. Yeah, because
we were at the
weekend's tennis matches, and someone said it was 31-0.
Yeah, it's the halftime score.
It wasn't even halftime, and they'd gotten 31. Wasn't it even way earlier than halftime?
Seattle actually had a chance to kick a field goal at the end of the first half, which at the end of the game they probably wished they had
done that. Yeah,
But I was thinking at the time that the TCU Horned Frogs scoff at your pessimism that somebody could come back 31 points
down. That's right.
they made a nice run at it. I thought Seattle was one of the hot teams going in, but Carolina's been the hot team all year.
Say, Carolina didn't lose their quarterback either. So during the game, so they were playing a second string quarterback like TCU.
Yeah,
fortunately for them, got the face in that bowl game.
Yeah, that might be one of the better stories of the year, is that TCU comeback in that Alamo Bowl game. I mean, just
that was another one where you turn the TV on, you see the score, and you go, "Well, I don't have to worry about that one." And then all of a sudden, we're sitting here. I think I was writing a story, and someone looked up and goes, "TCU might win this," and I went, "Wait a minute, TCU might win this? What does that mean? Is TCU playing basketball as well tonight or what?"
I didn't see the funny thing. I didn't see most of the first half of the game. I saw part of it, but when they were down 31-0 and were doing nothing, they weren't doing anything in the game. I said, "Well, I'm going to watch the beginning of the second half, just kind of see how this goes." Well, they started doing some positive things, did a little few more positive things, and man, all of a sudden I was hooked. I played that sucker out all the way through the second half. So as opposed to you, I was not actually working. That's pretty much the way things work around here.
I was going to say, that's par for the course.
Somebody said they saw the Eagles in 1980 at the Texas Jam in the Cotton Bowl. Texas Jam was a big concert, big summer concert.
And I wasn't around it here.
Played it in a lot of different places. A lot of Eagle live album was recorded there. It said the album that they did. Man, I can't imagine.
I saw a lot of concerts at up at Mile High Stadium. They'd had some. And a nice place where, when I mention this, a lot of people get jealous because it is a great place to watch concerts, is the Red Rocks up in Colorado.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I saw a lot of concerts at those two places. I never did see the Eagles.
I've never actually seen the Eagles in concert either. I never got to an Eagles concert. I brought up the fact that I saw Steppenwolf a couple of weeks ago, but my Cotton Bowl experience—that's the first place I saw Springsteen. Now I did see Springsteen during the Big Born in the USA tour back in the mid '80s, which was one heck of a good show. And it's tough to say goodbye to some of these folks. Clarence Clemens, of course, no longer with the band because he passed away a couple of years ago. Just it's hard to say goodbye to people that were part of
growing up.
Yeah, sort of they sort of did the soundtrack of your life.
Yeah,
and
that's a good way to put it.